Aha, there we are, we're there. Over the past few weeks, we have been talking about how you and I were created for a reason. That there is a plan and a purpose behind the creation account found in Genesis. A point that goes beyond the how and into the why. You and I, my friends, were created to be in relationship. Relationship with the world around us, relationship with other people. But first and foremost, we were created to be in relationship with God. And this is where the Bible starts. It's the opening step of a very long journey. The first five books goes into detail showing God's relationship with individual people, people like Noah and Jacob and Joseph. It gives us the groundwork of a point. We can know God. God is knowable. All of this starts in relationship. God's relationship with people. If we were to look close, we would see that God's relationship with Abraham starts, for the lack of a better term, a movement. Abraham's turns into a family. It's God's relationship with Abraham's family, which turns into a tribe. God's relationship with the tribe of people. And then that tribe turns into a nation. It's about God's relationship with a people group. As this relationship grows and develops, we see Moses come along. Towards the end of Moses' life, as they've been wandering through the desert, in Leviticus chapter 26, Moses puts it like this. He says that there is a benefit of our relationship with God. So this is God speaking. In verse 9 of 26, I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your number. I will keep my covenant with you. You will be eating last year's harvests when you will have to move it out to make room for the new. I will put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I, the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Chapter 26 of Leviticus, there is a deep theme running through. A theme of relationship. Us with God and God with us. But there's a problem. And to get to that problem, I need to explain to you something about myself. A few years ago, I got a motorcycle license and a motorcycle. Because what's the point of having a license if you don't have a bike? After I did my test, they were explaining some of the rules to me. And they said something along this line. If you're caught speeding on your bike, or if you break the rules and you get a fine, you lose your motorcycle license. It'll be suspended, but not only that, so will your car license. The two will link together, motorcycle, car, link together. So what does a motorcycle have to do with Moses? I can't remember the exact verse, but it basically, there's this verse that says, and Moses rode on his triumph. What does it have to do with Moses and relationship? Well, 26 is divided into two parts. The first one, it looks like this. If you live in relationship with God, if you have a deep and meaningful relationship, you will be blessed. But if you choose to step out of that relationship, there will be consequences. Big consequences. But that's not really where we need to start. We need to actually go a little bit further than that. I don't know if you've seen this television show or even heard about it. It's called The Good Place. Has anyone, a few people? All right, let me talk about it for a little bit. It's one of my favorite shows at the moment. The basic concept of the show is this. Four very different people wake up to find that they have died. And they're now in the good place. Why they're not told this directly, the basic vibe is that, hey, you have done slightly more good than bad things, so you're in. However, as the show unfolds, you'll see that things are not as they seem. Towards the end of the fourth season, one character has a major revelation. But before I get to that revelation, I want to say something to you. This is a spoiler warning. If you're currently watching The Good Place, you're not up to date, mate, you get permission to put your fingers in your ears and go la 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 for a couple of minutes. Okay, you have been warned. The major revelation is that when we think we're making good choices, it's not the case. The system is rigged. The example they use is buying a tomato. They go on to say, well, you're hungry, you want a snack, you go to the supermarket. Instead of walking down the chocolate aisle, guilty, you choose a tomato. It's a healthy food, right? It's a good choice. Hands up if you think a tomato is a good choice over a chocolate bar. Oh, that's the wrong answer. I'm baiting you people. The choice is much more complicated than what is healthy versus what is not healthy. They go on to tell you about the tomato. See, that tomato you chose was grown using chemical sprays that affect the water. It's picked by seasonal workers who are being underpaid. It's bought by a company who does all that it can to push down wholesale price while still selling it to you at a high marked price. It's transported to the stores in trucks, polluting the air. Starts off as seeming like a good choice, right? Tomato's healthy. But in fact, the show says that one tomato you chose, all those things actually are bad choices. And you get hit with those negative points. The show goes on to say that, hey, this system, this idea of, hey, if my good outweighs my bad, it actually falls short because of all the things that we don't see. Now, the truth is, this is how the majority of the world live, isn't it? Hey, if my good points are just slightly better than my bad points, I'm in. My good outweighs my bad. I'll be all right, mate. The problem is that this isn't quite right. See, the second half of Leviticus, verse 14, the bit that comes straight after, follow me and I will bless you, comes this. But if you will not listen to me and carry all my commands, into verse 15, if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands, so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. And it goes on to talk about all the curses that will happen if you choose to live outside of relationship with God. But did you notice the subtlety of those words? Something that we skim over. If you fail to carry out all of my commands, you lose the whole kit and caboodle. It's like you're on your learner's permit, a one-strike policy. Break one law, no matter how small, and get caught, you lose it all. That's what's going on here. Break one of God's commandments, choose to live outside of the relationship with God, and we lose it all. So if we have lost relationship with God, then we have to get it back somehow. If I was to take you back to the tomato, and if I was to tell you all that stuff that I told you before, about the information about the tomato that you hadn't even considered. And you decide instead, I'm going to do my research. You find an organic farm which allows you to pick your own tomato bushel, pay a fair price to the farmer. You still have a problem within the point system. See, the last tomato you bought from the supermarket has you at negative points. How do you get over those points? I once had a pastor explain to me that we have a problem. We don't understand the difference between recompense and justice. Justice is doing the right thing. Recompense is repaying for the wrong, but recompense doesn't necessarily completely cover it. There are some things that we simply cannot repay. Sure, if I was to steal the coffee machine from the kitchen, I could return it. But all those poor people who have come to church on Sunday expecting coffee have been deprived. How do I repay that back? If we're looking at the tomato, sure, we can go back to the original farmer and actually pay him a fair price for the one tomato we bought. We might be lucky and we might be able to track down the workers that picked them and paid them more than they deserved. But what about the use of chemicals or the pollution of the air? How do we deal with big business trying to maximize profit? How can we pay recompense for those times that we have deliberately chosen to be outside of relationship with God? Well, the answer is the only way that we can repay that is through death. Daryl, this is turning into a real bummer of a sermon. I mean, death? If I do one thing wrong, if I jaywalk, I deserve to die? Well, it's what the Bible says. If we choose to do something that's not in line with God, then we deserve to die. Actually, it gets more depressing. Romans 3:23 reminds us that all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us, all of humanity, even the best person in the world, even Oprah Winfrey has done something wrong in her life. Everyone, at one time or another, has chosen deliberately or not deliberately to live outside of relationship with God. That is what I think sin is. Living outside of relationship. And it's something that we've all chosen to do at one time or another. A while ago, my boys were watching a cartoon. And the characters of the cartoon had a cat, and they noticed that the cat was extremely fat. Is that politically correct? It was an obese cat. They took it to the vet. The vet said, oh, your cat's just simply eating too much. Give it less food. Need to put him on a diet. Put him on a cat treadmill. They went, oh, that's weird. We don't seem to overfeed him, but okay, we'll do that. They go and they buy the special food and the exercise equipment for the cat. But they noticed the next day that the cat was missing until dinner time. I think it's because the cat didn't want to exercise, but the little character went, I think something's going on here. So they decided to follow the cat the next day. The next morning, the cat got up, jumped over the fence and visited the little old lady. The little old lady was like, oh, poor kitty, you must be hungry, and fed the cat. After that, the cat went to the house on the corner, went to the back door, meow, meow. The owners opened the door, oh, you poor cat, you must be hungry, and fed it. After that, the cat went to the house on the other side of the street and fed it. It was fed again. And then for a fifth time, it went to a house. It was fed before it returned home to eat its diet food. As I was watching that cartoon, I realized that we can be like that cat, can't we? We look over the fence and say, wow, the grass is really greener over there. It's got what we want, or what we think we want. We jump over and realize, you know why the grass was greener on the other side? Because it's fake grass. It's not true. It's not what we really need. Sometimes we look for validation, acceptance, and meaning everywhere but where it should come from, and that's God. Now, if that was my cat, was going to the neighbors, being fed by other people, you know what, I'm going to save myself a few dollars, I'm going to stop feeding the cat. But the RSPCA tells me that's not appropriate. Is God like that? Does God look at us and say, well, you know, you're finding meaning in your job rather than your relationship with me? Or you're abusing alcohol or drugs. Mate, that's it, we're done. I'm walking away. Despite the fact that God puts down in Leviticus, if you choose to walk away from me, there will be curse upon curse upon curse. God always calls his people back. If you look at the Old Testament prophets, it is what? God saying, hey, here I am. I want to be in relationship with you. He calls and he calls and he calls us to be in relationship. And then we turn to Romans 5:8. Which reminds us that God demonstrated his own love towards us. In while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Jesus' resurrection proves that God not only accepts Jesus' death as payment for sins, but it's also about our restoration. It is God who pays the complete recompense for us. Not only that, he sets things right. Romans 5:1. This has this wonderful message. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We look to this cross, and the cross points us to God, and it reminds us that we live in relationship and that we can have relationship with him. We can have relationship that is not angry and animosity, but rather peace. Romans 8:1 teaches us, if we have that relationship, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, we will never be condemned for our sins. Finally, Romans 8:38 to 39. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demon, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither the heights nor the depths, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See this picture? We start off with this idea. We are meant to be in relationship with God. It talks to us about, hey, what happens is that something has come up. We have put a barrier, we've put a chasm, we've done something, and there's a gap between us and God. And the only way to pay for that gap, to overcome it, is done by God himself. Now here comes the kicker. How do we take up this offer? Romans 10 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, All we have to do is believe in him, trust him, believe that his death has paid for our sins. It has done the right recompense. It has set the scale right with God. Romans 10:13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I can't stress this point enough. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sins. He rescued us from an eternity of death, the things that we are rightly deserve. And what he offers us is salvation. He offers us forgiveness. This forgiveness is available to everyone, no matter how bad they are. It's even available to Oprah Winfrey. Salvation, the forgiveness of sins. It's available to anyone who will trust in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The law talks about boundaries of relationship. It hints at us that we need to pay recompense and seek justice. But the law also teaches us that we fall dramatically short of it. If this was all that was written, then we could never be restored to God. We would always be outside of where we were meant to be. But God himself provided the way. God himself set the groundwork. God himself not only calls us into relationship, but he opens the gate, he makes the straight road and says, "Come." Now we have a question that always comes up. How do we respond? How do we live within his provision? How do we say, "Hey, I don't just think I believe, I want to live it out"? And you know what? If you want to hear the answer to that question, you need to come next week. But let me leave you with this. Maybe you have never taken up God's offer of forgiveness. Maybe you feel like at one stage I did, but it slipped from my grasp. Maybe God has been speaking to you saying, "Hey, that's you. He's talking about you." It doesn't matter where you are in relationship with God. If you want to take up the offer, if you want to say, "You know what, I want this salvation, I want to believe," then I'll invite you to pray with me. A simple prayer. Saying this prayer is a way of declaring to God that you rely on him alone for your salvation. The words themselves won't save you. It's only the faith that Christ can provide will give you that salvation. So if you'd like to join with me in prayer, I invite you to do so now. God, I know that I have sinned against you and I am deserving of punishment. But Christ Jesus took that punishment that I deserved. So through faith in him, I could be forgiven. With your help, I place my trust in you for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness. And thank you for the gift of eternal life. Amen.